Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The sounds of the SEC brought to you by Kroger. Florida and Vanderbilt. The Gators bounce back in a big way.
Trask, he swings the pass to the left to Grimes. At the 40, Grimes 50, Grimes 40, breaks the tackle, and down the sideline, he's going to go all the way! 66 yards! Touchdown, Gators! Oh, my!
In Athens Saturday night, the Dogs' defense shut out Mizzou as Georgia flew high on offense.
Keep an eye on these snaps.
Trey Hill and Cade Mays, both injured tonight. From back for Pickens! Did he come up with that? He did! Touchdown, Georgia!
In Columbia, Appalachian and South Carolina. How about Appy? Appy beats North Carolina, then beats South Carolina.
Still no Brian Edwards. Here's the blitz. Olinsky. Off the fingertips and intercepted. Picked off by Appalachian State. And App State on the end of the end zone. No signal yet. They're celebrating like it's a touchdown.
Tennessee and Kentucky. The Vols saved their season and set sights on a bowl after slamming the door on the Cats.
Option. Bowden keeps it. And he's stopped. Tennessee turns Kentucky over on downs for the third time this half.
In Arkansas, Western Kentucky rolls into a non-conference game, blows the doors off the Hogs, and gets Arkansas's head coach fired.
What chances do they have versus the Buckeyes?
And it's intercepted off the carom. This is picked off by Devin Key, and it's a touchdown.
And LSU and Alabama, the first game of the year in college football, and the Tigers owned the ground in Tuscaloosa.
Snap to Burrow. Hand to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Goes near side. Stiff arms a man. Gets to the five. Breaks through. Stays upright. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Tigers!
Yeah, they were a little excited on the LSU radio network, Chris Blair and company, as the Tigers knocked off Alabama, and that's where we stand at the moment with LSU now having a clear path to the SEC championship game in Atlanta, and of course, maybe a shot at the number one ranking in the new College Football Playoff Committee poll tomorrow. And welcome back to a Falcons Monday with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, we're going to get into the Falcons and Saints and your reaction to that coming up in about 10 or 15 minutes from now, but we do want to take just a minute here to kind of recap what happened in college football and start to look ahead, because right now, Hugh, we have a run for the college football playoff that at the moment, just if you take out anybody that doesn't have or two losses and below, you still have about 11 teams. I count 11 teams that are still alive, but boy, did LSU make a statement against Alabama. And we asked you this earlier, but for the benefit of those just tuning into us this morning, did Joe Burrow win the Heisman on Saturday night?
I think he did. And I think unanimously that LSU has to be number one. Unanimous. I can't see anybody going into that committee and saying, oh, well, somebody else is number one. Who else would you say number one is number one after that win in Tuscaloosa? It has to be LSU. Has to be. And yeah, he did win Heisman.
I'm going to tell you, you tweeted out the video of Joe Burrow returning to Baton Rouge at the airport. In front of Hugh, I don't want to guesstimate size, thousands. I mean, if you
like
told me there were
a rock star,
there were 10,000 people there. I believe you running down the fence line.
We love you, Joe.
Man,
Joe, I'll do your homework for you Monday. Don't even worry about it. You ain't got to go to class. Like stuff like yeah, he's a rock star. But if I'm Ed Ogeron, I'm already plotting on my next quarterback. I'm trying to get that guy, whether it's a transfer or whatever it is. That's the biggest difference in this game was that was a complete team that played against Alabama. You probably need to start recruiting one right now.
Well, it used to be the stud quarterbacks wouldn't look at LSU because of the offense. And guess what, Hugh? They will now, right?
Yeah. I mean, but you got to keep it going. I think in order to ride this wave, man, you need to make sure that that next guy is in the pipeline. You need to do that right now. I don't know what LSU has been recruiting. Don't claim to know. But I'm just saying, you make sure whatever you do, that you got one of those guys. You got one of those Joe Burrows that's in the pipeline.
Well, it's certainly an impressive win for LSU and maybe the number one ranking if they leapfrog Ohio State into the number one ranking. Ohio State didn't do anything that they had. I mean, without Chase Young, they put 73 on Maryland. What else are you going to do? You're only playing the team in front of you. As for the real issue isn't so much 1-2. That's interesting. The real issue is, of course, 4-5 because you have to be 4 to be in and 5 is out. Will Alabama be 4? Will they be 5? That'll be interesting. Nick Saban after the game, the head coach at Alabama. Remember, Alabama's made the playoff every single year it's been around. Are they in danger of not making it this time?
We don't really control our own destiny, but if we finish the season the right way, we can see, you know, where it takes us. You know, we've been in this situation before. So, you know, I think the big thing is everybody needs to learn from the mistakes that we made today and try to get better.
That's all you can do, learn from the mistakes you made today and get better if you're Alabama, because they have made some mistakes in a couple of big stages lately. We've seen some cracks from the Alabama Crimson Tide. Certainly Hugh against Clemson last year, they got torched in the championship game. Their defense got worked by Trevor Lawrence. Their defense got worked by Joe Burrow. So that vaunted Alabama defense has taken some serious hits.
Yeah, they took a little bit of lumps, but they're still, like in a lot of people's eyes, they're still Alabama, and they're still going to be one of the favorites going in. And so I think, like Coach Saban said, you still control your own destiny, so you should be good to go.
As for Georgia, another shutout victory for the Georgia Dogs, a throttling of the Missouri Tigers that puts Georgia in a position where they are close to locking down the East as they get ready to potentially return to Atlanta for the SEC title game. After the shutout win over Mizzou, Kirby Smart talking about his team.
I thought the effort was really good. I thought that our kids played really hard, played consistent. We continue to protect the ball. We're not turning it over much, and we're not getting any turnovers, which we got to do a better job of. But the effort was there, so I'm proud of the way the kids played.
So the effort was there, and even Barry Odom, the Missouri coach, said after the game, Hugh, he said, you know, you talk about the number one team or talk about this team, but there's no team that he's seen this year that has more talent all the way through the lineup of both sides of the ball than Georgia. It is interesting to note that everybody falls in love with, and rightfully so, Hugh, Tua Tagovailoa and the four wide receiver set, Najee Harris of Alabama, or Justin Fields, J.K. Dobbins at Ohio State, or Joe Burrow and all the weapons that he has, Chase and everybody else, and Edwards-Helaire at LSU. Georgia's offense is still pretty good, but Georgia has something those teams don't seem to have, which is a dominating defense.
Yeah, and they have a dominating run game. You talk about that game the other day against Missouri. DeAndre Swift, 12 carries for 83 yards. Brian Herring, 10 carries for 42 yards. Zamir White, 6 carries, 24 yards. And just go down the list for a total of 166 yards. John, to me, that is the one part of your offense that you want to have clicking at this time of the year. Can't say it enough. Run game on any level of football that you're playing on is equalizer. Travels well. A running game along with stout defense. That plays in any stadium, hostile or otherwise. That formula right there, that's a winning formula. You know, everybody talks about, you know, throwing the ball all over the schoolyard, having four dynamic receivers, two dynamic receivers. But when it comes down to it and you want to win games, you're going to have to be able to start it away by running the ball and playing keep away.
We're talking about college football and the race in the SEC. Here's what's ahead of Georgia. You know, it's first things first if you're a Georgia Dogs fan, okay? The very first thing is a game this Saturday at Auburn. And, of course, that's all – Hugh, all weird things always happen down on the plains. And you just have to – if you're Kirby Smart, you have to say, guys, something weird is going to happen in this game. And when it happens, you go, okay, that's weird. Now let's go back out and kick butt. Because something – deflections off the hands of defensive backs for touchdowns and kick pick sixes and all that kind of weird stuff. Weird things happen down there. But the fact of the matter remains, if Georgia goes to Auburn and wins this game this week, they clinch the East. First things first, clinch the East. Don't be thinking about, you know, number four ranking or number five or national title. First things first, go to Auburn and clinch the East. Secure your spot in Atlanta, which is what will happen if they do win this game. Then they play A&M at home. That'll be an irrelevant game to the East, but it'll be certainly a relevant game to the national title. And then, of course, you have to play at Georgia Tech to end the year. So that's where Georgia stands. LSU, Hugh, has three games left. Do you see any problem in this? Ole Miss, Arkansas just fired their coach. Man, did Arkansas play bad. And Texas A&M in Baton Rouge.
I mean, like you just said, John, anything is possible. and you are worried about the fact that you're being treated a little bit different on campus this week. I always say it in a joking manner, but we've all been around it. When you come back the conquering hero like that, like all of a sudden the lunch line moves a little quicker. You know, you get your meals a little bit faster. You're getting smiled at by somebody who really didn't give you the time of day last week. Yeah, she knew you were an athlete. You were kind of feeling her, but she wasn't really with that. She didn't date athletes. You might be getting some conversation from her today. And it all depends on how you handle those moments, whether or not you can set yourself up for pitfalls. I'm pretty sure Coach Ogeron, you know, he was hyped. He was happy. He was talking about the game. You gotta refocus. Because after a big win like that, you know, getting beat 8 times by the same team and beating them in their house, you're setting yourself up for a big letdown. And you got to make sure that your practice habits stay the same and you have to come back and refocus. That's what you're concerned about, how they're going to refocus going to Ole Miss and playing against them after coming off of that big win against Alabama. They're set. Like you talk about set up for the failure. They're set up real perfect right now. So they have to – coach had to rein them in and get them ready to go.
Well, LSU, of course, is going to be interesting again tomorrow night to see if they're number one in the nation. Kind of a mixed bag for the SEC this week. Yes, they had the big stage with LSU, Alabama, and Georgia played well. Florida went to Nashville and beat Vanderbilt 56-0. Arkansas lost at home to Western Kentucky. Actually got beat by at halftime of that game. Western Kentucky was beating Arkansas 35-7. Western Kentucky comes into an SEC school at 35-7 at this point in the season. Appalachian goes into South Carolina and beats South Carolina. So Jab Morris gets fired, the Arkansas coach, after the Western Kentucky loss. Derek Mason is not long for a job at Vanderbilt, Hugh. I mean, you can't – 56-0, it's over for Derek Mason at Vanderbilt. He's going to be let go. Question is, will Muschamp, who beat Georgia, will he survive? Because South Carolina fans are looking at this going, you just lost at home to Appalachian, and you're fading fast here. That program, despite the win over Georgia, they're not getting better over there in Columbia.
Yeah, and it's going to be tough. You know, you talk about the other teams in SEC that are getting better and being able to be relevant or trying to become relevant. For South Carolina to be in that state, Carolina, and not be as relevant like as a Clemson or something like that, North Carolina right now had a better outing than they had in the beginning of the season. So, yeah, you got to turn that around. If not, then you're definitely going to be looking for a job.
All right, so some of the stories in the SEC we'll certainly look forward and have more discussion with you tomorrow ahead of the poll. We'll get Dennis Dodd into the program from CBS Sports to talk about what he expects will be the race for number one, the race for 4 and 5. That'll be tomorrow on the program. But, of course, today is really predominantly about what happened yesterday down in the swamp in Stinky Town, where the Atlanta Falcons, for one day, looked like the best team in the NFL and made the New Orleans Saints look like just a bunch of ragtags. Falcons fans, you can tune in to 90.10 The Game 2 hours before every Falcons game for the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. And, of course, as they go to Carolina this week, that will be at 11 a.m. Harry Douglas and Paul Crane will preview the Falcons and the Panthers. Countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light is brewed for the Dirty Birds. That's the countdown to kickoff. Of course, everything on Sunday starts with the Wait For Tailgate show as well with Hugh and Andy at 9 a.m. But next up, Carolina. But before we get to talking about what the Falcons could see in Carolina, let's still talk about what you saw yesterday, because I don't know. I'm almost at a loss for words watching that game, the domination of that game.
Don't be questioning your blessing. That's all I got to say about that. Don't be looking at gift horse in mouth for one. That's all that matters.
And we salute our veterans on this 11-11 Veterans Day. To all the heroes, my grandfather, my uncle, and all of you out there who serve this great nation. Let's talk a little bit about the Falcons and where they stand after that to start the second half of the season. That's next with John and Hugh after a CBS Sportsman.
3rd and 4. Leading by a touchdown. Breeze looking for help. He'll be sacked. And that is Adrian Claiborne firing through, and Drew Breeze is down for a second time. And here is Youngway Koo. 37-yard try for Koo. Snap spot. Kick is away. And it is good for Youngway Koo. all the way to the right. Now Kamara in motion. Breeze going to drop back. Wants to throw, and he'll be sacked. McKinley got back there early, and then Devondre Campbell takes Drew Breeze down back at the 11-yard line. Gage and Jones to the right side. Ridley and Hooper here to the near side with Freeman in the game with Ryan. McGarry stood up. Ryan clapped him back. They shoot it to the end zone. Hooper holds on, and it's an Atlanta touchdown. In between two black shirts, it was Marcus Williams and I think Eli Apple that were there trying to defend Big Austin Hooper. Third and four. Atlanta leading by a touchdown. Breeze looking for help. He'll be sacked. And that is Adrian Claiborne firing through, and Drew Breeze is down for a second time. 36-yard try for Koo. We hit earlier in the half from 37. Snap spot. Kick is away. And it is good. Snap to Ryan. New Orleans bringing heat. Ryan in trouble. He'll be sacked. They fired DeMario Davis through, who gets his first sack. Here we go. Third and eight off the New Orleans 10. Ryan in the gun. Two-by-two look with Hill. Ryan back up in the pocket. Throws. Backside Hill. Open. Diving and scoring in the pylon. And the Atlanta touchdown for Brian Hill. The last guy in the package. They put Josh Hill, the tight end, to the right this time. Take Cook out, three receivers. And Latavius Murray now steps up in a slot. Breeze releases four into the pattern. Trying to come back, fights around, and will be sacked by Grady Jarrett. Drew Breeze is sacked for a fourth time today. Play clock at one. Snap to Breeze. Looking quick. Sack! Vic Beasley buries Breeze at the 32. That is the sixth sack of Drew Breeze today. And Adairsville, Georgia comes rolling through the streets of New Orleans. Fourth and three at the 18. Breeze looking for the quick throw. Back up in the pocket. Incomplete. Trying to go to Cook. Deion Jones was there with Jack Crawford to break it up. And those that had hung around thinking there might be a miracle now will join their fellow Saint fans in the streets of New Orleans. And the ball game is over. No touchdown for Breeze or New Orleans. Three field goals is all they muster. And Atlanta shocks a lot of people, getting their second win, handing New Orleans their second loss. The final is 26-9.
Wes Durham and Dave Archer on 90-10 The Game in a Falcons winning Sunday. It's a Falcons Monday brought to you by Xfinity. Beyond Wi-Fi, it's X-Fi. Only from Xfinity. Get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity X-Fi. John and Hugh, as we bring you the full story here. And congratulations to Brian and Buford, who first contested in.
Good job, Brian. We're proud of you.
Chance to win the Falcons flyaway against San Francisco on December 15 in that showdown against Kyle Shanahan, old school, and Tevin Coleman in San Francisco. A lot to talk about with this Falcons today. Want to ask you, you could jump into the program in a lot of ways. Certainly, we're taking your reaction on our Twitters, at BigU53, at John Fricke, at 929TheGame. Also on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, which is 404-741-0929, which is also the phone number to call into the program. One of the questions this morning is, besides Grady Jarrett, which Falcon had the best game on Sunday? Besides Grady, who had the best game on Sunday? Now, Grady Hugh, 2.5 sacks, 2.5 tackles for losses, 5 quarterback hits, a dominating performance by Grady Jarrett.
No question about that. But I went with Devondre Campbell because he kind of got the party started with the first sack. And that, to me, I don't know how any other Falcons fan felt, but being in that position – with that play, that specific play is what kind of was the catalyst and had me, you know, kind of it switched my thought process, because we've seen that before. We saw, I think, in that same drive, there were like two big bombs by Drew Brees to put them in scoring position. And normally, you know, we've been through that. And when that usually happens for us, it's only a matter of time before the opponent punches the ball in for a score. That didn't happen. And for them, that sequence of plays and to go down like that, that was kind of one of the tone setters for the game for me. And then after that, you looked at this defense like, who the hell are – like, it's like, you know how – it's not a good feeling, but when you're dating somebody, mm-hmm, and they say, it's like I don't even know you. That's what it felt like. This defense was like the same cast of characters, but it was like, who are you? Wait a minute. Who is this playing? Who is this dressed up in Vic Beasley's number? Who is this? Who is this looking like Tack McKinley? Like, that's what it was for me. You're looking like, wow, these cats came to play. I tell you what, We were talking about this a little yesterday, and I honestly think that this probably has something to do with it. You listening, John Fricke?
I'm listening.
The fact that Sean Payton got real disrespectful and got engaged on Friday night, the night before Hate Week, that had to be one of the battle cries in the locker room. Had to be. Dude, how, like, you look at the way that the chatter has been back and forth on Twitter. Oh, yeah, I want to give a shout out to Roy Lee, too, because, you know, the last couple weeks, Roy, I ain't heard from you, like, in the last 2 days. Like, Roy is a consistent Saints fan trash talker that has been on our timeline since week one. No, yeah, week one of the preseason. Like, we're doing a wellness check on Roy Lee because Roy Lee, Roy, if you're listening to me, dog, because you show up on my timeline unsolicited every day except for yesterday and today. Now, you know, Roy, when you come back, I'm going to say something about this. Just, I'm going to give you a couple days because I'm not going to bother him. I'm just going to mention it. Do wellness check on Roy. Make sure Roy is okay. He's okay. But we're going to mention it after that. But, yeah, we're doing a wellness check. We're going to let it go. But, yeah, this was a different team. This was not what we thought it was going to be. And it was surprising. It was refreshing. It was exciting. And now it's given us hope. Even the darkest so-called Falcons fans right now are tweeting me in my DMs. I'm not going to call you out. Asking me the same question we talked about last week. 97, can you make it to the playoffs? 97? It's a slim chance, but it's
slim
a
chance.
Possibility.
It's a possibility. You have to have the Saints go 2-5 the rest of the way, okay? Yeah, Saints got to go 2-5, and you got to win out. And if that happens, you're in. But it's a slim chance, but that's the thing. You got to win the South. You're not going to get in as a wild card. That isn't going to happen. Grady Jarrett, certainly a player of the game for the team. But who besides Grady? Hugh says Devondre, 6 tackles and a sack. Vic Beasley, 4 tackles, sack and a half. You had great play from Kendall Sheffield and Devontae Casey in the secondary. Brian Hill comes off the bench, rushes for 61 yards, catches a ball for a touchdown, and combines for, you know, nearly 100 yards in offense. And, of course, you have, in my opinion, Younghoe Koo, you know, 4-for-4. How about Younghoe Koo's debut? You can vote for Kudat. Or I said Caleb McGarry and the offensive line, unsung heroes here, paving the way for that running game, Hugh. And Cam Jordan was a non-factor in this game. And Caleb McGarry really did a great job. So I give a lot of credit to the offensive. I know, rightly so, we should talk about how great the defensive line was, but it overshadows what I thought the offensive line did, too.
I tell you what, don't nothing. Because, John, let's be honest. When you look at this Falcons team, we knew that the offense had this potential. They went out there and did we thought that they could what they could do. This defense was a totally different person. This was like Jekyll and Hyde at its finest. This defense looked like they had a whole different philosophy. They had a whole different mantra. They looked completely different. Like, you're talking about we've been seeing these guys the last couple of weeks with the usual suspects. The last couple of weeks, they were different. They were different in the sense that it felt to me from watching the game that they were locked in on their assignments. There was not a whole lot of confusion in the secondary. You know, Dave Archer said, you know, they play a lot of man-to-man coverage. When you play man-to-man coverage, basically that's this. You got that guy, you got that guy, I got this guy, let's go play football. Anybody move, you go with your man. That's what they did. And that was one of the things that I pointed out on that drive when I was talking about with Devondre got the sack. They came out. They changed the set. They started moving guys around. They went into motion. And you saw people going into motion with them. That was man-to-man coverage. And they played football. To me, the biggest difference in this game was the fact that they looked like they knew, everybody knew exactly what they were doing.
Well, it was sack Lana for a Sunday. You know, Raheem Morris now with the defensive secondary, that was probably his call to go to that. And Jeff Ulbrich was making the defensive calls, and suddenly the Falcons defense holds the Saints without a touchdown in their own stadium. And the Saints were so desperate to get one. They're spiking the ball with 8 seconds to go in a game that's already over.
And this is the last time I'm going to say something about it. Could y'all check on my man Roy Lee from the wellness check? Just want to check him. Lay hands. Hey, sweet Father God, just lay hands on him, get him right.
All right.
He'll be okay.
Your reaction next. On the Sullivan Brothers Diamond Text Line and phone calls as well, 404-741-0929. Falcons winning Monday with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I would say it's probably more of the second, but because there's a lot of plays that go into a ball game. But what I can say, you know, when the adjustments are made, you have to then you go and you have to implement them, and you have to carry them into the ball game. And so that's one of the things we wanted to see him carry these changes, carry these things into the game. And so I thought, you know, the players, I couldn't be more proud of that for showing some of that today. Yeah, it was way too long. And so for personally, I was just, you know, it's not about me, it's about the players. And to see their excitement in the locker room with the players and the coaches and the energy, you guys get to see them for 3 or 3.5 hours on a Sunday. But, you know, what they go through to play and the toughness they display, I was happy for them to, you know, see some of the hard work they put in.
We'll say this. Welcome back to A Falcons Monday with John and Hugh. And Hugh, you can echo this because we get a chance to see the players up in the locker room at Flowery Branch, that through all of this, one thing we didn't, there was a lot of frustration, but we never saw them quit. We never saw them just give up.
And stayed up, remained upbeat. That's the beautiful thing about, you know, being in that atmosphere with the guys. And that's what, to be honest, you know, to give you a little bit of, you know, like, you know, just make a little parallels. That's the same thing that Mitchell Trubisky was trying to do, get back to that, you know, where the Falcons were this weekend that allowed them to win a football game. Just get that focus back. That's what it is, because as a football player, you have a me against the world mentality, and you really don't care what's being said outside that building. You know, you hear it because, you know, in your outside world, that's not a part of football. You have to deal with that. Like the barbershop conversation today is going to be fire. Like the guy that sits in the corner, the contrarian, the Abe, if you will, the Abe Gordon that sits in your barbershop. If somebody's going to get their hair cut today, they're going to ask that question of somebody that played for the Falcons, that's that uncomfortable question. And that question is, where was this all season long? I'd rather have that conversation than what the hell's wrong with y'all? Why y'all taking these L's? You know, so it's one of those things. It's a great feeling, man. Like, to number one, beat your hated rival and to beat him in that fashion, that's a great feeling. So I say all that to say this. Don't question it. Just take the blessing and keep it moving. Don't ask all them questions. Quit being nosy. Just enjoy the win.
Yeah, a dominating performance by the Atlanta Falcons on both sides of the ball. Total game control from the opening kick to the final sit on your butt at the half-yard line. In a moment, three things you might have seen or missed at the game. We'll tell you what those three things are. First, Kevin in Snellville wants to weigh in. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, guys, for taking my call. Hey, I just wanted to say, man, that was a great win. I think it was a team win, and that was a win for the fans, man. We needed that. I don't care what happened for the rest of the season, but I'm so grateful that we looked like a real football team yesterday, and I think the guys did a great job, and coaches, the players, and I'm ecstatic. I'll take it any day.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Kevin, and I do too, because no matter what happens the rest of the year, and yes, there is a slim chance they could actually make the playoffs, but no matter what happens the rest of the year, the fact that we have mitigated to a great degree the smack talk coming out of the swamp, because if they come at us for anything, all we got to say is 26-9. Three things you may have missed here, Hugh. I just want to run through these real quick. Did you see the speechless sign?
The speechless sign, no.
Yeah, the guy, the fan holding up, speechless. I mean, spoke for a lot of the people. Yeah, handcrafted sign. He held it up in the fourth quarter, just speechless, because they were totally out. Second thing is, there was a chant in the stadium for Teddy Bridgewater.
I didn't hear that. That was not. I was locked in to the line play. I didn't hear that. That didn't even register on my television.
Yeah. Now the third thing you might have missed is, and I didn't notice this till after the game when people were tweeting it, during the fourth quarter of the game, the New Orleans Saints, the team, the management of the New Orleans Saints decided when they were down, I think 23-9, it may have been 26-9. To play videos of the Super Bowl with Atlanta and 28-3 all over it.
I did hear about that.
Yeah. Really. Yeah, classy move.
I mean, that's the rival. Listen, John Freakin, you need to stop doing this because this is kind of getting a little old. If y'all going to be going back and forth about the rival, you can't be surprised at what one person does as opposed to the next person. Roy Lee, Roy, if you listen, I'm not picking on you, but you are the Saints fans. You are the Saints fan that I know and respect the most. Like, that talks to us on a regular, but ain't talking right now. But I'm not picking on you. But this is kind of par for the course for this. Like, Roy's been talking trash since day one. And you know, that's the way that this thing goes. It's going to come up. It's that 28-3, that's going to come up until after it changes. That's always going to come up. So you can't be mad because they did that, because to me that's expected. Because we turned around and did the Game of Thrones thing with the Ram and the ref calling the thing. So it's like it's tit for tat at this point.
Mark in Villarica, you're on with John and Hugh on a Falcons Monday. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how you guys today?
Good, man.
Hey, I really appreciate you guys allowing me to be on, and we appreciate all you do for Atlanta. You guys are fun to listen to. After that win yesterday, I had to pass the phone around and ask people to read the score for me. I was like, am I reading this right? And my question is, you know, they shuffled the coaching around, and it's week, you know, 7. My first question is, why do you think they waited this long to make these changes? And my second quick question is, and I love Dan Quinn, but does he know what he is doing if they make these changes and take some of the responsibilities away from him and they end up doing so much better? I'm just afraid he may not know what he's doing in some cases. But that's okay. Still love the Falcons, lifelong Falcons fan. We appreciate you guys.
I appreciate that, Mark and Villarica. Well, it was interesting that they did make changes, and there were some, you know, the players responded. Again, the locker room, it's an important thing for all fans to understand, Falcons fans. Despite 1-7, that locker room was never lost.
No.
Never. We heard about Julio, you know, speaking up, right, Hugh?
Yeah, we did.
But that locker room was never lost. And so, you know, it just, a case where the changes, obviously, Raheem Morris, was able to get, affect a change in the defensive secondary, and Jeff Ulbrich was able to affect a change, a positive change.
I look at it like this, John Fricke. Like, if the Almighty Father himself dropped down, like, and you found $500 in the middle of the street, and you pick that $500 up and put it in your pocket, you shouldn't question that blessing, regardless. I kind of feel the same way in this situation. You know, we talk about Raheem Morris going to the defensive side of the ball and Coach Ulbrich calling the defenses, and everybody's asking why this wasn't done earlier. If you got that $500 that just fell out of the sky, you wouldn't question God's blessing. So don't question what Coach Quinn did in order to make this thing work. Just enjoy the blessing. To keep it moving.
Yeah, the question is this a real thing?
That's what I'm going to say, but that's all I'm going to say.
Right now, we can't. It was such a dominating performance that if were the Falcons 7-1 and the Saints 7-1, of course they weren't, but were the Falcons 7-1 going into that game, we'd be sitting here this morning going, oh my God, are the Falcons the best team in the NFL? Because they so dominated the Saints at their place from beginning to end, but of course they were 1-7. So the question, it begs a question. Was this a real thing? Was it a one-off? I guess we won't
know. Can't
be
a one-off. Can't be. Like, that's it. Like, listen, all the cash you have built up with this game, if you go out there, you lay a big old stinky turd in Carolina, boy, like, you're opening yourself up for a whole nother can of worms.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you did, whatever was the formula that worked this week, damn it, you better bottle that up and keep it going. You know, I'm sitting here talking about don't count your blessings. Don't question your blessings. Listen. You, whatever you did, you need to keep that going. You need to keep that going. I need to see the same energy and enthusiasm that I saw Sunday for 7 more games. And that's it. That's the bottom line. Because now you've set the bar high for yourself. You did that. Like, now, and any question that's being asked, that's your fault that it's being asked, because people are going to wonder, where was this team at? At the beginning of the season. But like I said, I'm going to go ahead and take the high road and say, listen, don't question Jesus' blessing and keep it moving.
Yeah, I mean, all of us have the same reaction. Wow. Okay, let's see that again next week. Will that team show up at Carolina? I don't know. Falcons Monday brought to you by Xfinity. Not Wi-Fi, it's X-Fi. It's only from Xfinity. Gets you the speed coverage and control you need with Xfinity X-Fi. Still to come, the Ryan Report, what the quarterback said immediately after the game to Dave Archer. We have that ahead next with John and Hugh on a Falcons Monday on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.